I got interested in Celtic music when I was a part of a folk club in Winnipeg, in Manitoba, in the late 70s, and was really smitten by the sound. My family history can be traced back to Inverness here, and then to Donegal, and then to Canada. But I found that my attraction to music was more on a very instinctual level. And I would find that one of the first things that I was to do in learning more about the Celtic sound was actually initially go to Ireland. And subsequently I've gone there several times over the years. And every trip seemed to have embodied its own set of adventures and misadventures. I think one of my most favorite ones, one actually occurred in that first trip where I was just endeavoring to get some money change, and I'd been traveling by train, and I had stepped outside of the station, and a bus was parked on one side of this wide boulevard, and I went out to the bus and then out to the bus driver, and I asked him if there was a bank close by. And he replied by saying, Franklin, you go up here about 2 blocks and make a left-hand turn. You go up another block and a half and make a right-hand turn. Maybe go another 2 blocks and make a left-hand turn on your right-hand side, you'll be sure to find a bank. And I looked at my watch and I said, gee, it's about 10 to 3. I wonder if it would still be open. And without batting an eye, he would say, oh, surely to God, it hasn't been open for years. And I said, well, I'd like to find a bank that was open today. I'd say, I need a change. And right there, you see across the way there, you see that bus stop. Now, if you go and wait in that bus, let's say 12 or 15 minutes, and this is, of course, Irish time, which could be a turn. If you wait over there about 12 or 15 minutes, there will be a bus that will come up there. Now, when it does, get on board and ask the bus driver to take you to the center of town and be sure to find a bank that's open. So I marched across with my suitcases and my guitar, whatever I was traveling with at the time. And waited, and about 12 or 15 Irish minutes, during which time I was watching him across the streets and lighting up a cigarette and reading his newspaper. And then at that appointed 12 or 15 minute he started up the engine, and he started and pulled up to my bus stop. So I came on board and I said, well, I'd like to go to the center of town, please. To me, that seemed to, I think asking for directions of any foreign country has got to be the test of wits of any traveler. But I was found, and I've yet to spend more time here in Scotland, but I certainly found the Irish, there was seldom a meanness of spirit. It was more, as a foreigner, they were testing you to see to what degree you were up for the sport. That was my introduction. In that same trip, I was to come across, be introduced to a wonderful field recording of a Dublin child telling her version of the Nativity story. And when I heard this piece of dialogue, I was inspired to write a piece of music around it. At that point in time, I was considering writing a piece based on a plight of homeless people. And then this seemed to conjure the image, particularly for me, of the story of the matchstick girl at Christmas time. And so I said it in a very Dickensian kind of setting. For North Americans, we find the accent particularly strong to understand. I'm not sure where it will rest for you folks. But anyway, this we're going to do this piece, and we're actually going to weave this girl's voice into the song. I hope you're able to catch much of what she's talking about. She does have her own point of view of the whole story. And you can also see the wheels turning. She can't quite remember exactly how the story went in church. And so she paraphrases the priest from time to time. And she's not shy of adding her own commentary. So in case there's any confusion in your mind, King Herod is the fellow we don't much care for. So anyway, this is a piece that the world quite different stuff. Thank you.
To go to see a father down the sky. And this was a fear.